so
wild. That's where you start out with that.
Oh, shit.
I'll call the meeting to order. First up is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes from May 16th and May 30th, the council retreat and the last council meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from May 16th and May 30th.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Minutes are approved and the lights are good. Number 4 is approval of the claims.
I'll move to approve the claims.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on the claims? Seeing none, let's roll call. Claims are approved. Item number 5, action to consider the appeal of Allison Santor Kai. I hope I said that right, to remove her dog from city limits as it has been deemed vicious per section 90.040, vicious dogs, paragraph B2. And I don't know how we want to set this up. Chief, do you want to start us out and then we can hear from the applicant?
Yeah, and give you the facts of the call.
Yep, and then we'll hear for the appeal.
I'm Marlon Chen, Chief of Police. A lot of the information was attached in the packet. Just briefly, May 13th, one of our officers got called to Providence Medical Center for a dog bite victim. It was a 4-year-old boy brought in by one of the parents. They contacted us for two reasons. Anytime there's an animal bite brought in, they contact us, but they also wanted us to verify the rabies vaccination information on the animal. So the officer that was working contacted the dog owner at a residence and obtained the vaccination information from her. It was valid. She had just had it done. Further checking, we discovered through the course of this that the dog had not been registered within the city since they had it. It is not a one-time incident. We learned from the parents of the young boy that was bitten that the same dog also attacked their dog on their property in February of 22. We didn't have a record of that call, so it was evidently not reported to us. But looking at all the facts considered between both instances, the dog was off the property, supposedly, both times, uncontrolled, unrestrained. Both attacks appear to be unprovoked. It's not like the little boy was doing anything to provoke the dog. And in the earlier case, there was nothing with the two dogs, even, that would have provoked the attack. Under the ordinance, they do meet 2 of the 5 criteria under your definitions for a vicious dog ordinance. And that is why we proceeded with what we did. Went back the following day and impounded the dog per the ordinance. I met with the dog owner following day after that. She asked to meet with me, so we sat down and talked about the incident, told her the steps that would have to happen and her options with the ordinance to either, I was requesting for the dog to be removed from city limits and the proof she would need to show if she did that. Otherwise, she did also have the choice of appealing my decision, and then that's why we're here tonight.
Okay, any questions for the chief about the facts of the case? Otherwise, I don't think he's going anywhere, so we can call him back up.
Okay.
And then anybody else who wishes to speak in this public hearing, or it's not a public hearing, the applicant may.
Okay. So going back to February of 2022, the dog was 11 months old. She had slipped out the door when my daughter opened the door. She had ran next door. Their dog was outside. Their dog started snapping at my dog. And I didn't see exactly what happened, but consequently their dog ended up with some kind of open area that their dog then scratched open. Their dog owner said that their dog probably broke it. They wouldn't let me pay for the vet bill. They said it was completely fine, but their dog was grumpy, and she said, don't worry about it, it's fine. They wouldn't let me pay for the vet bill. So I apologized, considered it basically a non-event, and was careful from then on. In May of 2022, I installed an electric fence because the dog digs. She has squirmed under the fence. Both of my neighbors have a fenced-in backyard. She has squirmed and tried to get under the fence. She has dug holes deep enough that would allow her to get under the fence. So I knew fencing in my backyard was not going to be an option, so I got an electric fence. It has worked. She has never run out the boundaries. A couple weeks ago, she ran after a rabbit and stopped when she got to the perimeter. She also chased after a cat and stopped when she got to the perimeter. So the day of the incident, May 13th, I had had a migraine since the night before, and the little girl next door, she's a sweet girl, she had come over to play, and she was playing all afternoon, and they play really nice and quiet together, and so she had been playing over all afternoon, and the mom had asked to send her home by 5:15, which I did. And the dog was, I had the dog kenneled while she was there because she tends to jump, and she's tall enough that where she could knock the girl over. She's only 29 pounds. She's a little terrier. So the girl went home, and I unkenneled her, and I was outside with her. And a few minutes later, I saw the little girl and her brother come outside, and which I thought was weird because I assumed that they were going home to eat dinner. But I was kind of watching what the dog was doing because she was barking at them. Had I known that they were coming back to my house, I definitely would have grabbed her and tied her up. I did not know that the little girl, she had made her mom, it was the day before Mother's Day, she had made her mom a Mother's Day card. She had left it at my house. She was on her way back over to get it. I had no idea that she was on her way back over. Apparently the little boy had asked if he could come with. The mom said no, he went anyway. My dog barked, and then advanced over the barrier about 2 feet into the yard and nipped at his leg. I was horrified. I feel horrible about it. I'm absolutely devastated that it happened. I just feel awful that it happened, and I honestly cried for days over it. And the mom even told me that she felt bad that I felt so bad, because she's like, he's really fine, he's fine, and I'm like, but I feel so bad that it happened. I checked the electric fence; it was working. They have been adamant with me that they don't want me to get rid of the dog. They asked me what she said, my husband thinks he may need stitches. I said, well, do you want me to come look at it? Because I'm a nurse. And they sent me pictures, and it didn't really look like it needed stitches to me, but I didn't, because it was my dog, I didn't want to be the one to say, it's fine. So I said, yeah, I think you should probably go get it looked at. So they went and had it looked at. So it's not like I was trying to hide anything. You know, I knew that they were going to get it looked at, so I wasn't surprised when the police showed up. You know, I feel I'm absolutely horrified that this happened, that my dog did this. She's never been aggressive with anyone. I've taken her to the soccer field. She's been pet by all kinds of kids. I've taken her to the dog park. She runs around with other dogs. She's been fine. I've asked the vet. They said she's been completely fine. I moved here 4 years ago, and my whole family's in New York. and I just had my daughter here. I got divorced 9 months after I moved here, and that dog is really like my only companion besides my daughter. Since I've lived here, I've gone through financial crisis and health crises and mental health crises and crises with my house. It's just been constant stress for 4 years, and I know it's not an excuse that I haven't gotten the dog licensed, but I was working in Norfolk. I didn't realize that I could have gotten the dog licensed after hours. I have since gotten her licensed. I've paid the bill at the hospital for the emergency room. But I'm at a point, like a couple weeks ago, my fridge stopped working, and I was like, I can't take another thing, and I just left it, and I went to bed. I've just had so much stress. The dog means everything to my daughter and I. She just is such a joy for us. She's, you know, she's happy to see us when we go see her. Like I said, I feel horrible that it happened. I've since installed a cable in my yard, a trolley cable, so that she could run the yard but not get near either neighbor's fence. So if I were allowed to bring her home, she would be secured, and I would supervise her, because I don't think a fence would work. But I would be able to watch her and keep her away from both neighbors' fences, and tie her out with a secure enough cable that she, right now the cable that we have is for a dog that's like up to 75 pounds. She can't break it free.
Allison, do you know what kind of dog this is?
She's a rat terrier mix.
So we have an ordinance that your dog violated two of the standards, is that right?
Two of the definitions, yeah.
Two of the definitions. And we're guided by ordinances, obviously. And you have admitted that these things occurred. What is your rationale other than your personal rationale? I understand pets are family members and all these other things, for us to not follow the ordinance.
Well, I've never seen her be aggressive before. I don't know. I'm not sure why. The only thing I can think of why what happened is that they were heading into our yard and she was being protective. She does seem a little more protective of our yard than when we're out and about. You know, like I said, if I had known she was coming, that the kids were coming into our yard, I would have grabbed her. I should have grabbed her. I had had a migraine for 20 hours, and it's a huge regret that I have that I didn't grab her and tie her up. It's completely my fault. I should have.
So, and you know, I just want to be forthright and transparent. What would keep another child from you? You can't always predict when a child's going to enter your yard in a residential neighborhood in the city.
Mm-hmm.
How can you guarantee that this won't happen again? It's already a pattern of behavior because mm-hmm. it happened more than once. That's my concern. You wouldn't always know, and how are other kids going to be protected? And I haven't even gotten into the fact that the other kids are fearful.
Right. So my plan would be to not allow her in the front yard. I would just keep her in the backyard. So she wouldn't be allowed in the front yard, which is where, you know, if kids were going to come in, and then she would be supervised outside.
In your notes, didn't it say that the dog's gotten out of your front door unnoticed a couple times, though?
She was 11 months old when that happened. That was prior to, that was when she was, she doesn't, hasn't not done that in a long time. We had only had her like 3 or 4 months when that happened.
Allison, where did you get your dog?
We got her from Noah's Hope. We got her from a rescue.
And do you know, I mean, did they say at the rescue place that, you know, she had bad behavior?
No, they said that she had been returned from the home, is all they told us.
So you said the kids were in the house, or at least the little girl was in the house earlier, and the dog was in the kennel.
Mm-hmm.
So what behavioral changes were there from being inside the house to outside the house? Because if the little girl was coming over, the dog should have known the little girl.
Right.
So why would it have, what do you think would have made it bite when they were coming into the yard if it knows who they are?
Well, she doesn't know the little boy.
Has the dog gotten any training?
No.
Allison, there's a couple things that I guess I want to address. It's a little concerning. First of all, you know, you said some things are a little contradicting because you said that you have an electric underground fence. It says it's always worked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't work that day.
Right.
Okay. And then you've also said that if you install a fence, it's not going to work.
An above ground fence.
Okay. Still, I mean, okay, so what's the solution here? You know, you said, well, we'll just keep it in the backyard. Okay. So, you know, a concern that I have is, you know, those, you know, the neighbor kids, I don't care who, you know, any children, you know, they shouldn't be in fear if they have to go out. You know, they want to play in the front yard.
Sure.
Okay, it's like, no, you have to stay in the backyard because you may run into the neighbor's dog in the front yard and bad things can happen. Okay, so whose responsibility is that? You know, if you know, one's dog goes over to the neighbor regularly, you know, that's an issue. I'm not saying this happens regularly, but okay, it's happened that we know of twice, okay, and unfortunately there's been a couple of situations where, you know what, there's been blood drawn. Whether it's animal, person, there's been blood drawn. So, you know, we've had several situations in the past where we have to make these decisions that can affect someone's life in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, the first one that when I was on council years ago, or when I first came on, we were dealing with the trail. Okay, where do we put our trail at? Do we have it on city streets? Do we have it on a sidewalk? Or do we have it just on the outside of property in a rural area? Okay, well, the main reason why I was for having in that rural area is it kept those people walking on that sidewalk, that trail, away from vehicles backing out of driveways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if we would allow that on that city street or those city sidewalks, and someone backed into a child, someone on a bike, a runner, anything like that, and caused harm, injured, possibly death to that individual, I would have felt absolutely terrible because we had the option to have that trail on the outside of town away from traffic to where no one would be injured. And I'm thankful that that's what we did because we have to be concerned about, you know, the citizens of Wayne, the people that use, you know, our trail system, our roadways. You know, we have to provide a safe community. And if we allow this dog to go back and there's another injury where the dog gets through the fence again, another kid is walking on the sidewalk or they're on their bike and the dog happens to get outside and bites them, who's liable? So we had the opportunity to where we could stop this behavior from happening, and then here we, you know, potentially allow this to happen again, and it does happen again, that looks bad on us.
Right, and I want you to know I've taken this very, very seriously, and
I'm not denying that you have because I know you have. I mean, any one of us that has a pet and something like this would happen, yes, it's a horrible situation to be in. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, That's why we have, that's why we have ordinances. And, you know, if this is a one-time occurrence, that, you know, there isn't any prior history, then, okay, you know what, yeah, there's some other things that I would be more in favor of. But unfortunately, you know, we have two situations in, or, you know, two incidences in 2 years. And to me, that's very concerning.
But I'm not even sure if the first incident was a scratch or a bite. I'm not sure.
But it came over into their yard and attacked their dog.
That's true. And she was trying to play.
I would guess from the photos that we have, that appears to be a puncture wound on the dog. To me, that looks like a puncture wound. That's not a scratch. That's not.
She told me that the dog scratched it open.
The scratched something open.
Yeah, but that to me appears to be a puncture wound. And like Matt said, I think we're at a point now where we have a responsibility to the rest of the citizens of Wayne to, because there's nothing that can ensure whether or not this dog can be returned safely.
Have you tried to find another home for this dog outside of city limits?
I've tried. The rescue that she came from is possibly willing to take her back. She came from Sioux City. I'm told I'm not allowed to transport her. So.
If I can just address the neighbor situation a little bit, and I'm not speaking for Rachel in regard to this, but I know that you had said that she said that, you know, things are fine, there's those text messages, don't worry about it, all those types of things, but I think it's pretty normal for people to be neighborly because you have to live next to each other.
Sure.
And I think we all give and take in regard to certain things to keep the peace. I have a rental next to me. I knocked on the door on Saturday and said, hey, can I spray your weeds in the front yard so that it stopped coming to my property? And they were fine with it. I was diplomatic. I could have called the city. I did not. Because I don't want to have that kind of relationship with my neighbors that's ongoing. This is going to probably be a bit of a struggle for whatever happens, because we have to decide and someone's going to be on the short end of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes individuals may say things that they're just trying to keep the peace. They're trying to know that, you know what, we have to live together in this community and all these other things.
That.
But, you know, I do understand her concern regarding her children.
Of course.
And
I
think you understand that also.
Of course.
It's, there's a lot of give and take in certain things, and I think you're asking a lot in regard to, you know, a parent who has had a child bitten. I mean, especially if that child is fearful to go outside and looks for the dog before they even, I mean, who wants to have a childhood like that? I mean, they can't be guaranteed that it wouldn't happen again, because there's two times. And I know that you are very concerned and stressed out about it and everything else, but I think we have to advocate for the person in this situation.
My whole concern,
real
quick, sorry, Matt, you can go.
One last thing I want to touch on is, you know, when I make these decisions, try and see both sides to it. And, you know, like if I was in your shoes and this happened to you where your neighbor dog came over, you know, two situations happened where there was, you know, there was some injuries, you know, would you feel the same way that, okay, that dog's fine, it'll be fine? I don't know if you would. So that's why I try and see both sides to it, and I think, granted, Allison, this is the second time I've ever seen you in my life, but I have a feeling that you would probably feel the same way that, you know, your neighbors do if a neighbor dog came over and injured your child, that you would have a hard time being okay with having that dog back after two situations.
I do understand, and you know, it's just that, like, she's just not done this before. It's really, I mean, the vet says she's been totally fine. She's not been aggressive with the other animals. She's been playing with them.
So I have one quick question. Sorry to interrupt. On the May 13th incident, knowing that you put the underground fence in, I don't know for sure how an electric fence works, but my understanding is there is a device, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that is supposed to be on a collar.
Yes.
So when they got it, was that device and collar on?
Yes.
It was.
It was on and it was working.
Okay. Officer Chief Chen, is that true? Do you know that?
There's some discrepancies. They weren't sure if the dog had a collar on at the time.
Okay.
We asked.
Okay.
They didn't know.
Okay. Yeah, and in regards to this, when you're looking at these pictures, it's puncture and it's gashes. It's not like you're playing with a dog and then so you touch it by accident someplace and they nip. These are not nips. Having been a victim of dog bites and having a dear friend that had her face tore out from it, it's traumatic to young children and even adults if it happens from a dog. So that's just one thing. I mean, it's very fortunate that it was on this young man's knee and it wasn't on his face or someplace else, because that would, I mean, this in itself is very traumatic. So, all right.
Any other questions for the applicant? With that, Amy, do you want to talk about, okay, this is an appeal. What do we have options? Is there anything that the council needs to know before voting?
Well, she has, I mean, obviously the ordinance says that she has the option to appeal, which is why she's here. The reason that it's declared vicious is because it has had a prior bite or a prior incident, and that's why law enforcement declared it vicious. It wasn't being provoked or anything like that. One thing is, even if the dog was kept in her yard, I mean, when a dog's outside, there's nothing that says the kids are not going to just go up and try to pet a dog, you know, that's in somebody's yard. I'm an animal lover. I have 2 dogs, 3 cats, and a horse. So I am a firm believer that animals are a part of your family. But I also know what I would do if my kid got bit. The other thing you have to look at is that the dog wasn't in her yard at the time that it happened. Both bites occurred in somebody else's yard. And even though those electric collars are on there, you know, and even if it was working, even if everything was working, what happens is when a dog runs across it, it shocks them for a couple seconds, which is supposed to tell the dog to come back into your yard. But after a couple seconds, that shock stops. And then they're beyond that line. And then they don't feel that anymore. Now, the ordinance doesn't say that the dog has to be euthanized. It can be taken back to Noah's Hope. I know that you said, or to another shelter, I know you said that you weren't allowed to transport. You're not allowed to transport so long. The impounding agency has to, if it's going to be euthanized. If it's not going to be euthanized, and if you're just going to find either another home for it outside of the city limits, then what needs to happen is that person who's ever taking the dog has to sign an affidavit saying that it is outside the city limits and verification that they have the dog so that it shows that you don't have it within the city limits. So if it's going to be euthanized, then you get to choose who euthanizes it, and Marlon has to transport it there. If you're not going to euthanize it, you're going to find either a home outside of city limits or take it back to the shelter. Then you can do that, but there needs to be an affidavit stating that that person has the dog.
Allison, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I checked with the vet clinic yesterday, they did tell me that there is a family that lives out in the county, because I know you had talked to them about maybe trying to find a new home too. Is that correct? Or,
mm-hmm.
Okay. They do have a family that lives out in the county that's willing to do a trial.
to take it home and see how things go. They don't have young kids. They have teenagers. So that wasn't a concern for them. But the vet clinic did tell me the same thing you have said, that they have had no issues with it, with any of their staff or anything else. They do not have any male workers, and they don't have any young boys that have come in. However, both supposedly you and your ex-husband had commented to the vet's clinic out here that the dog acts differently around little boys. So I have to look at the big picture too. But there is an option for a family willing to try if that's what happens tonight.
So the motion in front of us is action to consider the appeal of being deemed a vicious dog, which excludes it from city limits.
So you can either approve the motion to grant the appeal, which would be in favor of her, or to deny the appeal, which would be stating that declaration of vicious dog stands.
Make a motion to deny the appeal.
Second.
Motion and a second to deny the appeal. So a vote for this would deny and be against the applicant. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. Motion denied.
Thank you.
So then, Allison, I would suggest, I don't know who the vet clinic has, but I would suggest either contacting that department to see who that family is that's willing to.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Item number six is ordinance 2023-10, amending the future land use map to the comprehensive plan of the city of Wayne. This is our second reading.
I'll introduce ordinance 2023-10 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
I would like to state that I am again going to vote no on this. And we discussed this back on March 21st at our city council meeting when a realtor and also the owner of the house came in and was concerned with some problems. We discussed it as a council and we decided that as a council that it should be tabled because we want to find a solution to this. And we kicked it back to the planning commission for them to find a solution. And there's something else in here that I wanted to address.
What do you think a solution looks like?
To be honest, I'm not on a planning commission. And I mean, that's, to me, you know, we talked to our zoning administrator and made it sound like there is a possible solution there. We would have to do some rezoning, but either way, we as a council all decided to table it. Every one of us voted for tabling it to find a solution. And it's really frustrating that as a council, when it comes back to us, that everyone else is, or it goes to the planning commission, they say, no, we're good. We don't want to discuss it. We just want to keep it the way it is. And the rest of the council says, okay, I'm good with that, besides me. When we as a council addressed and directed city staff to come up with a solution to where we can get this house in someone else's hands to get it back in the tax roll, and nothing was done. So that's my concern.
We did get a little clarification about it was the nature of the loan, the source of the loan, that precluded it from this type of zoning. A normal financer through a traditional bank wouldn't have this stipulation that they wouldn't lend if it couldn't be rebuilt on site. That was just a VA loan requirement for the specific type that this individual was going for originally.
So he could get a traditional loan,
which would allow him to buy the house.
But that wasn't my entire issue with it.
The concern is that it was demolished.
If there was an issue, you'd have to take a house down. That area is designated business or industry. I'm like, come on. You've got, well, there's one house that is for sale right now. The house that is right next to it, that's in a floodplain. on the west side, next to the house that's for sale. And the house that is next to it to the north is probably out of floodplain?
None of the houses are in a floodplain. The lots in a, part of the lots in a floodplain.
Okay. Part of the lots are in a floodplain. If something happened to those houses, because it is zoned B1, correct?
So the south houses, that's zoned I on the west side of the road.
Okay. Business and industry. I'm like, so we have houses there now, and it makes no sense why that is business and industry when we have residential houses there and families living in those houses. And I think our planning commission has failed because they think that that's what's best for Wayne or the future is to have businesses right there. So,
yeah, I would guess so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm leery to share too much detail, but I will tell you from last week, I had a call from a potential buyer for both properties that were just mentioned that is looking at repurposing two uses that would fit the current zoning.
If I see houses go down and a business go up, I will eat crow because I don't believe it. I don't believe it's going to happen. Someone's not going to displace two families and put a building up and run a business out of it. I just can't see it. So we can have a vote.
Any other comments or discussion?
How many existing residential houses are down in that area? Is it like 5?
Just in that zone?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4. 4?
4.
Does that sound right? Does that look right?
Across the street?
Well, but just in that zone. I'm just talking about that zone. Then, yeah, in here, it's in industrial.
That one of those houses is under contract right now.
On the end?
Linear's house.
And that's the one that they were in here about.
Mm-hmm. Third buyer. Hmm. Has purchased it. I talked to Trisha today about it.
Yeah, but yeah. As I said, it is zoned incorrectly. And the planning commission not to see that, where we can't change it to B2, to where you can have mixed use, that's a failure.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we had businesses buying up these houses and tearing them down to put a business up, it's a different discussion. But exactly. We're in a housing crisis right now. And we're going to eliminate the opportunity for a couple houses there.
We just have so little B1. I mean, I guess it depends on where you want the B1 at. Just have very little of it.
And the other issue with B1 is it, by definition, highway commercial. And so it's not like you want to go put B1 4 blocks off of Main Street somewhere. It's kind of limited to your highway corridors. And so that's a lot of the discussion the Planning Commission had was limited places where these things go.
I would argue the property to the south should be B1, and that's currently residential. But I'm also, I like business along the highway corridor for safety reasons and for just commerce. But currently, that's not how it's zoned.
I always say that having lived on a busy highway, you're going to live there whether you like. I mean, if you like it, we loved living in our house off 7th Street. You didn't hear the traffic or anything while you were in there. The residents that have lived on this section of town have lived there for years. So, yeah, they wouldn't have chose to live there if, you know, it would have a home that suited their family, you know, value of living in Wayne. I mean, if the highway would have been an issue and knowing that it was supposed to be business, they would have moved years ago. Do you need to have a B1 section, Joel?
There's some uses that are kind of limited to B1. For one thing, construction, sales, and services, unless you're going industrial, are probably limited to B1. That's the issue of changing that area, is you take an existing business and you make it so they can't expand or
I mean, they can exist as is, and that's it. So once their use goes away, then they're done.
But the current businesses that are down there, I mean, do we think that they're going to expand?
One just got done with that within a year and expanded. Construction sales and services. There's also a car sales business down there that would be jeopardized by changing their zoning.
There'd be another building down there too. Mm-hmm. That would.
And part of the issue with the houses there is that you're like, you're claiming people want to live there. You've just mentioned the housing crisis. There's not a lot of options. So when there's a house for sale, even though maybe it's not where some people want, they may take a chance just because there's not a lot of options right now. I can guarantee you the Planning Commission didn't just look at this and 2 minutes go, we made a decision we're not doing anything. There was another 15, 20 minute discussion back and forth on what should this community look like? Where's the future growth if somebody doesn't want to come with a BU1? Should it be on what do we want things to, when people drive in the south end of town, do we want to see a house sprinkled next to a gas station with industrial power plant, or should we see more of a commercial quarter leading into the, they had all those discussions back and forth and they did not take it lightly. And that really is what their end result was long term, there shouldn't be houses in that area. It should develop into a more of a mixed use. Maybe it does become residential, like hotel lodging is actually a permitted use in B1, just not a single family home.
I know we have a lot of new council members, and I can't remember the timeline, but I remember a council discussion about whether or not we need to trust the Planning Commission, and ultimately it came down to yes, we have them for a reason, and we need to trust that they're knowledgeable in making the right decisions, unless somehow this one is just off the charts wrong. And then we would be, you know, kind of reversing the determination from the past that we trust our Planning Commission, and well, I don't think we are supposed to rubber stamp things. What's the optics of this if we, you know, go against what they suggested? It's difficult.
I will just say they are an advisory committee.
I understand.
And not downplaying them at all,
because
they do the dirty work for us on a lot of
highly
detailed work that we reap the benefits of.
Right. And I, like I said, I mean, trust is associated with trust in their recommendations, I guess, or whatever.
Sure.
Because I do remember that conversation, but it was quite a while ago.
Well, to say, the land use map is kind of, the way that I think about it is the vision for 50 to 100 years, and then zoning is the mechanism that gets you there. Zoning is the tool that gets you to the vision.
How often can we or do we amend the land map? Like, if we have people willing to buy houses there right now, but in 5 years we need, like, we have more businesses interested in coming into town, like, can we adjust it as we actually see the need for the community?
Absolutely. And we adjust it probably,
we start doing annual review now for the Planning Commission.
But also,
that discussion.
If some business were to come in and want to go someplace that's not zoned, we usually work it around.
Right. I just think, like, if we have people making offers on the houses for residential areas right now, but not as businesses, that should be something we take into consideration as we review this information.
And that's something that hopefully in the future the CRA gets a funding mechanism that they could do, is get more pieces of the puzzle so that when businesses come in, it's more, you know, you get three pieces of contiguous property, all of a sudden we can do away with those and hand them over to a business. It's tough for a business to go into three houses with three different families that are all in different stages of their life to drop everything, whereas if the CRA could hold it and rent it out on a yearly or semi-yearly basis, where you're not displacing people at different stages of their life.
And I think part of this is because of such the huge housing crunch we're in. I know others that have purchased houses that they know are not going to be, they aren't liking it. They purchased it out of need to have housing for their family and children and a new job and everything else. People are buying houses right now that they aren't married to because they just need a place to exist for a while. And I don't think it's out. Hopefully we don't have this housing crunch forever, and hopefully we figure it out. Things, you know, kind of get back to a normal pace in regard to, you know, housing or whatever. But I understand why people are purchasing those houses. There just aren't hardly any for sale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that drives that. I'm not sure that's a big factor to determine that, you know, those houses are so desired.
Right.
I think they are available.
And you know, this doesn't, it doesn't prevent the selling or the living in that area. It's only if the house is already 60% demolished or it can't be rebuilt.
Yeah. Another thing Matt mentioned is a solution. The solution for that property owner would be, even if the map is approved with commercial, you're correct, they could go to B2 under the future land use map showing it's commercial, and that would allow them to still rebuild a house there. They just couldn't be on the first 30 foot of the lot with it, which it's probably set back that far anyway. The issue becomes is you can't spot zones, so you try and treat neighborhoods, and that's where you pull in those existing businesses surrounding them. Now you're going to put them in a bind if you change the zoning. So the solution is for the house to fix the zoning and change it from B1 to B2. The issue is that now creates an issue for two or three other properties that surround that lot. So either you have a house that's eventually going to go away, or you have a business that's going to eventually go away once it fails to exist or has to be demolished. You make one or the other non-conforming.
Or once expand.
Or once expand.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. Ordinance passes, second reading. Item number 7 is ordinance 2023-12, authorizing the release and abandonment of the north 16-foot easement of lots 1 and 2, Hillcrest Edition.
Was there a motion on that?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. A really long discussion.
Okay.
Hillcrest Edition, City of Wayne, Wayne County. This is the second reading.
And we're working through Amy and us to the foundation to get 10 feet. That's not done yet, though, right?
No.
You don't have me the information. Kevin would need to sign it. So you could pass this on second reading. Do not waive it until... So we would have to have this in place by the third reading to make this go forward.
Okay.
So.
You can just forward me that stuff.
Introduce ordinance 2023-12. Move for approval.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Let's roll call.
Dorian.
Ordinance passes in second reading. Item number 8 is a public hearing, acquisition of real estate from Battle Creek Cooperative, Nonstock, and Nebraska Cooperative Corporation. I'll open the public hearing. Wes, you want to set us here?
Yeah. So this is the property down on Chicago Street. And let's see the map here. There are two little triangles that are currently, Lot 21 currently owns this area. And Lot 20 owns this triangle over here. So we're just going to swap the triangle so it's a nice straight line. Anything else to add, Joel?
That's it.
And Battle Creek's and Battle Creek Cooperative, Farmers Pride, whatever, it's Battle Creek Cooperative, they're in favor of it as well. So it's pretty much a wash. It's just a straight line, a little better lots, I think. So.
Cleans up the legal description.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing? Seeing none, we'll close public hearing. We'll introduce resolution 2023-39, approving the acquisition of real estate from Battle Creek Cooperative Nonstock Nebraska Cooperative Corporation.
Introduce resolution 2023-39, move for approval.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 10. Resolution 2023-40, authorizing the sale of real estate to Battle Creek Cooperative, Nonstock, and Nebraska Cooperative Corporation.
Introduce resolution 2023-40 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 11 is ordinance 2023-13, directing the sale of real estate to Valley Creek Cooperative Nonstock and Nebraska Cooperative Corporation.
I'll move to approve ordinance 2023-13.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call.
I would suggest you waive the third reading on it.
On that one?
That's just the ordinance.
Just the ordinance.
I'll move to waive the three readings.
Second.
Motion and a second. Let's roll call. The ordinances are, the readings are waived.
I'll move for final approval of ordinance 2023-13.
Second.
Motion and a second for final approval. Let's roll call. Ordinance is finally approved. Item number 12 is resolution 2023-41, identifying City of Wayne goals. This is from our last retreat.
Yeah, so Betty put together a list of past retreat, actually January stuff, as well as May items. I'm trying to get there. For both future and current goals, or current and future goals. So if there's anything you'd like to add, delete, change, we sure can. Did all of your goals get on at some point to, again, it's a roadmap. It doesn't say all these things are going to be done, but we'll work towards them and see what we can accomplish with it. So.
I will introduce resolution 2023-41. Move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? This is roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 13 is action on application for payment number 9 in the amount of $34,660 to OCC Builders LLC for the Freedom Park Trailhead project. Our very own council president, Joe Rogerson, is architect on this project. What's going on?
They're moving right along. Let's see, they've got the inside, the drywall is done, and the walls are painted.
I can pass my phone along. I took pictures, but they were too big to get to the...
We've got the little bank of cabinets installed.
If you want to see, Cam.
Outside, the picnic area to the south is done. The ceiling is in, and it's all stained. We've got some painting to do with the doors, some columns, just general painting.
I take my badge up there. Will they let me go look inside?
We met on site today with Audi Construction. Getting some internet put in out there, something that we didn't really plan for. We just thought we have a space for a TV up on the wall and a projector, and just thought you would just hook up to that. Well, Brian said, no, we need internet up there. Somebody else said, we need a phone up there. We're going to put a phone up there. So, a little bit of,
like a landline phone?
The dial phone?
Yes.
Pay phone
for emergencies.
It better be a rotary phone.
There's one payphone in this county, in Carroll.
Nice.
And it calls 911 every time it rains.
It rains.
It does.
Yeah, so coming right along. They still have some plumbing to finish up, the toilets and everything. That's what they
do. Expected finish?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're expecting.
We're talking a month? We talking,
Lily? Okay, we'll see. I'll eat.
Write it down.
I will. If they're done in a month.
Yeah.
Recommendation for city staff. Like when we have these payments, can we have a couple photos to kind of?
Yeah.
I understand. It's on your phone.
I know. I took them
but
today.
But you know where? It's like okay. I want to see what we're getting
progress
money here because we knew where the project was the last time because there were some photos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well,
right.
What's our money going to? Yeah. Type thing.
So. I think there's four of them there, Jason.
You don't want me to go to the fifth?
Oh, you can. I can find my pickup. Yeah. Public record.
The whole phone's public record now.
We should consider having a retreat there.
Ooh,
we also need to... Just
you're lodging there?
What, tent? You can tent camp out there.
We'll need to set fees on what we're going to rent it for. Yep. Those types of things. Yeah, but no, it's coming along.
But I'd like you to see it also.
Rod Gillen was up there and told me what he was doing on the outside, doing some, she said Jill, on the area that needs to be corrected where the doors were at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like a fake, like fake stone.
Show me.
So what is enclosing the shelter?
Birds.
On the...
Why did we enclose the shelter?
It looks like there's some sort of...
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, the outside part?
Yeah.
So if you look up, you'll see like...
There's some handwriting, it looks like?
Yeah, pine boards, is it pine board ceiling, is it stained?
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought you meant, why did we enclose it? Because of birds?
Oh, no, I didn't ask why, I was wondering what I was looking at.
I thought it was like tin.
No, it looks shiny.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk today about, you know, having Clausen's come out and do some, somebody's gonna do some grading and seeding and get some grass started.
Steve Meyer was gonna do some grading around there, and then Clausen's were gonna put irrigation in.
Nice.
Be a nice area.
Can't wait. But I will.
Looks green.
Entertain a motion. Let's keep this rolling.
Make a motion to approve the action for application of payment number nine in the amount of $34,616 to OCC Builders LLC for the Freedom Park Head Trail Project.
Motion and a second, any discussion? Let's roll call. Payment application is approved. Update on 513 Main Street. Anything to share here?
Met with architects today. Marlon met with them for a long time. I met with them for probably half an hour, 45 minutes. Today was more about hardware, where we're buzzing people in, and lockdowns for PD issues and that type of stuff. Kelly, the architect, said that still on target for second meeting in July to approve plans to get it bid out in August, and hopefully construction starts in September.
Cool.
Of 23. So that's currently still their timeline.
All right. Item number 15, discuss update on potential negotiations on real property. We need to go into a closed session for this.
Probably related to an update, yeah.
Let's do a motion.
That we go into closed session with everybody on the dais.
Ooh.
And that's it. I know.
Motion and a second. Go into closed session.
Second.
Let's roll call. We are in closed session.
I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
Been a motion to come out of closed session. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. We are out of closed session, and item number 16, we are adjourned. I'm out again. Next time, I'm pretty sure.
Planning Commission.
Meeting last night, they talked about vacating that alley that's the Barclay Edition. I can't remember who owns that piece of property.
Barclay, it wasn't Payne.
Yes. So, and they...
I'll take that over my house, too, if you're working.
Aaron, I will be there, yeah, with...
And I remember talking to you about Kevin Armstrong, because I asked what the name of the foundation was, right?
Oh, for...